And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and I report for today. It's a Friday. It's April 5th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman. Co-host with me is my son, fellow investigator, Joe Hagman. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased and uncensored news analysis and information that you need to know. Very perilous times we live in. We set the standards for offering news in 3D, three-dimensional news. Our home base on the internet is HomelandSecurityUS.com. You can also watch us live in high-def video at the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we want to thank you for joining us. Thank you very much for your belief and your trust in us. Thank you for helping to support our broadcast. And this is how we rely on your assistance, your prayers, telling others about the program. We want to welcome new listeners in Ottawa, Canada, and also in Brantford, Canada as well. And we also received emails prior to the show. Listening right now are a couple of military bases in Afghanistan. Two, actually, they requested we not give out those locations. And an Australia location. So, welcome to the program. Joe, welcome to the night.
Very glad to be here. Last night we had a terrific show with special guest Paul McGuire. And the day before that we had Stan Deo on. For those of you who did not catch that live, if you want to hear excellent set of broadcasts, I would go listen to Wednesday and Thursday episodes that we did. They were fantastic.
Absolutely. A couple of announcements. Tonight I'll be on the Pastor Cliff Lawton show, AccessTucson.org. Apparently, well, it's a live television show, AccessTucson.org. But it will re-air on, I believe it's 48 stations at some point in the near future. But I'll be on from midnight until 1 in the morning tonight after the show. And then tomorrow I'll be on KSFO out of San Francisco with Barbara Simpson. You might know Barbara Simpson from hosting Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, sitting in for Art Bell during the early 2000s, perhaps, prior to his retirement. I'll be on KSFO, which has internet streaming as well, tomorrow at 6 Pacific or 9 p.m. Eastern. So just want to mention that. And then Sunday we've got, did you mention this? We have Pastor David Langford on a special Sunday program of the Hagman and Hagman Report, 9 p.m. to midnight on Sunday night with Steve Quayle and Pastor David Langford. So that should be a great show as well. One more thing, I'd like to direct your attention to HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. If you click on the link on the top story, just did a special video report right before showtime about the situation in North Korea, how things are ramping up. And I suppose we could open the broadcast with that news based on information that I've received, in fact, that Joe's received as well, and others. So this is not a talking out of school secret. It would appear that preemptive action against North Korea is perhaps imminent, and I say perhaps because plans change. But the information that we have compiled is essentially a preemptive strike against the missiles located on the east peninsula of North Korea by the Americans, by the American B-52 bombers armed with cruise missiles, to take out the threat of the missiles there. Now, expect that perhaps as early as this weekend. And it's my understanding that certain key congressional leaders have been advised to stay in town for a meeting that will take place either tomorrow, Saturday the 6th of April, or Sunday the 7th of April for this meeting. And they will be told as the operation is in progress to take out the missiles. Now, the important part of this equation, ladies and gentlemen, is how we got to this point in the first place. And we can go back to the, this is the, what, the 60th anniversary of the Armistice Agreement. But we can go back to the plans of the Illuminati back to early on. And I say that because what we're witnessing here is a geopolitical global chess game. Folks, this North Korea, as serious of the situation it is a distraction from the real key issue, and the real key issue goes back to the Middle East, the Arab pan-Islamic agenda being perpetuated by the Obama regime in concert with the Muslim Brotherhood and Saudi Arabia. It all goes back to Syria. All roads lead to Damascus. Please understand that. What you're seeing in North Korea being a being a client nation state of China, folks, is in response to our attempt to take out Syria or overthrow the Assad regime in Syria. And you've got to understand that both Russia and China have significant economic and military relations with Syria, especially Russia, but China as well. As permanent members of the UN Security Council, the countries have vetoed numerous Western-backed resolutions aimed at isolating Assad, the Assad regime. And we can go back to the middle of last year, July 19th, 2012, to be exact, for one of the most recent ones. But the diplomatic opposition by Russia and by China stems from fears of another Western-backed military intervention operation similar to that in Libya and the Ivory Coast. People, this is what it all comes down to. It's all roads lead to Syria. Syria is the firewall for Russia, and it's the backdoor to Iran. So once Assad is gone and Syria is destabilized, then we have a very volatile situation in the Middle East.
I would rephrase it, all roads lead to Iran through Syria, because Iran, North Korea being the two main powers that the U.S. is looking to control through in order to take an advantage or think they have an advantage over their proxies being Russia and China.
Exactly. And what you're seeing, too, is a massive situation. You talk about the economy. Everything is kind of falling into place. Like we said, we explained in previous programs, even as far back as September, October, right after 9/11/2012, the attack in Benghazi, which we've never gotten the true story about, we've never gotten the truth about. But the Russia and China have been hoarding gold, if you will. Their gold reserves are much, much higher than is being reported. It's really kind of a joke by the Western media that they're not reporting the truth about the gold reserves. You've got the Japanese, and remember, folks, remember when Steve's Financial Insider, for crying out loud, he came on the air twice now. And we apologize. We're rescheduling him due to his illness. He's getting better, but boy, you know, that flu and the upper respiratory thing that hits you really knocks you out. But the bottom line is this. He came on and said, watch Japan. Japan's the next to go. What are we seeing today? What is Zero Hedge, for example, reporting?
I don't know about today, but yesterday there was a $1.4 trillion bailout or
right.
This money was released into the Japanese market, and this is more of what we were the insider V was talking about the deflation of Japan and their currency, and how they are going to be the start. They're the first indicator of first major indicator of the currency wars. After his first appearance on our show on, I want to say it was January 11th. I know we had Tom Horn on the 14th, but that was the second appearance for Tom Horn. And before that, we had V on, I think it was January, because they came on both.
Back to back.
Yeah. The first time was January, and right after that appearance, he said, where he talked about Japan, watch for Japan, watch for Russia, watch for these indicators, stories started popping up about the same exact things he was warning about, the Japanese deflation of their currency, the partnerships and alliances we are now seeing where countries are continuing to move away from the U.S. dollar. Russia and China are on the forefront of signing deals with other countries, moving them away from the U.S. dollar, whether it is India to Iran to Australia now. They are signing deals where the U.S. dollar is being pretty much taken out of the mechanisms or uses around the world, and that is hurting the world reserve currency status as it holds. And they are looking, and they, being the globalist economy, are looking for a way to end the dollar as being the world reserve currency. And we have people like Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski and other economists working hard and promoting Asia as the new rising superpower, both politically and economically, for the next decade. This is what they want.
That's right. And just from an economic point of view, because I do believe the economy, you see, all wars are really the wars of the central bankers, the international bankers, and I never believed that. Before I really began researching and studying this and really trying to understand what's going on, if you look at World War One and World War Two and Vietnam and Korea and even the Afghanistan and Iraq conflicts and what we're seeing right now, the hidden hand behind all of this is the hidden hand of the bankers.
I now, got actually, I have some audio I want to play. Older audio clips, Dwight Eisenhower and John F. Kennedy warning about these things, and I uploaded these today. They're both short because
Let's remind people. Let's remind people of what Kennedy and what Eisenhower said about this. And I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, you listening to this program, you've heard this before, but it's always good to hear it again. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
That was John F. Kennedy talking about secret societies, secret oaths, infiltration through subversion instead of invasion. And now we're going to play a clip of Dwight D. Eisenhower warning of the military-industrial complex and the weapons it was using back in the 50s, I think this was, 54, maybe. This is his farewell address. Yes, the Dwight Eisenhower. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
There is a short glance back into time at a few presidents and their words.
Two presidents. Hey, how prophetic is that? You know,
you heard Dwight Eisenhower say, not only is it economical and political, also spiritual battle we are fighting.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah, and we are looking, in particular, the JFK. I don't think the JFK speech, secret societies, is understood by a lot of people. You know, there was the influence of the Dulles brothers there in the CIA. And of course, if you look back at what the Dulles brothers were all about, it'll wake you up. Believe me, there's just an incredible amount of background information about that. But before we broke to those audio clips, folks, I've got to just revert. Well, go ahead.
When you're done, if you want to hear the difference between the leaders who gave those speeches and our current leader and some of the rhetoric he is stating, I have a clip of Obama talking about how he is constrained by the Obama pro-gun right advocates who say they need guns to defend against the government, but the government's us, he says. And it goes on to talk about the founding fathers, which we can...
Boy, I've got a few things to say about that. If the government's us, then we should clean house if we have the ability. In a way, we're looking right now at a series of seditious acts on the state level and federal level and treasonous acts. we are systematically having our rights taken away from us, the Second Amendment rights. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, you hear this all the time now from different websites. Please understand that everything we're seeing right now is just the systematic attack against us to take away our constitutional rights to enslave us. All wars are decided or started, and really, they're all bankers' wars. They're all international bankers' wars. This is, I don't think that there can be an argument made against that. And if you don't believe that,
conspiracy theorist.
Exactly, I am. Conspiracy, verification of conspiracies. But here's the thing. We are involved right now in what we believe is an unstoppable sequence of events. These events have been put into motion. Financially, economically, the pressure has been building for months. It's very evident that, first of all, the Treasury bonds, United States Treasury bonds, folks, are going to be brought home to the U.S. And believe me, when this happens, when I say brought home, the dollars are going to be thrown, brought back to the United States, because they're going to be worthless, essentially. Russia and China are building an economic and military alliance. Look at what China is doing and Russia is doing with respect to hoarding gold. You're going to see the dollar lose its status as a reserve currency. Who's behind this? Who gains to, stands to gain to make money? The George Soroses of the world. I saw some of the most ludicrous comments today by people on the left and on the right, the people who still adhere to this right-left paradigm. My goodness, folks, don't you understand that there is no right-left in America anymore today? It's just one single party, and that's the party of the globalists. I mean, when you've got Lindsey Graham and John McCain and even the Democratic, so-called Democrats or progressive siding being one with another, what do we have here? We've got one party. We don't. It's an oligarchy. And you've got King Obama as the pharaoh of the United States. It's not even a representative republic anymore, and it's everything's going down into the states. The gun grabs and what have you, but on a federal level, you've got the gun grab by the Veterans Administration, Veteran Affairs Police. There is such a thing, by the way, if you look into it. You've got the classifications, reclassifications of American patriots, and when I say patriots, I mean true patriots as terrorists. So everything is upside down backwards. But really, at the core of everything is the global takeover. Monetary takeover. Now, the thing I mentioned earlier today, or earlier in the video, special video report I did, according to the information that we have, expect action as early as this weekend. But if it doesn't happen, look, the plans are still there. The objectives are still there. The plans can change. But think of it this way: if it doesn't happen this weekend, I would watch very carefully the time period between April 11th through the 22nd. There's a reason for that. There's a lot of if you understand the structure, the background, and what's important to these Luciferian type mentality globalist Illuminati leaders, then you'll understand why that time period is important. That said, I would say that all of the actions we're seeing right now with North Korea is taking our eyes off Syria and the blowback. Where is it going to be? Is it going to be in America against America? No, not necessarily domestically here or on U.S. soil, but within the U.S. It could very well be. But I would very carefully watch what's going on in the Middle East. It's kind of like on stage, the magician. The pretty girl, the hat, the bunny, the flashbang, the smoke, you know, it's all just a magic show. But we've got a lot of news other than that to get into. I just really want to mention that this is an important time in history. And that was one other thing too. I came into the office this morning and I had talked to somebody about last night's show. And if you recall how that show ended last night with the vision of Paul McGuire and the people from west to east, the glow, people rising up, and ladies and gentlemen, that's you. Those people that he was referring to are you. You're the leaders. You're the remnant. You're the hope for humanity. And I really believe that. This was pointed out to me by someone who heard the show and said, it's your listeners, the very people who are listening to this program, wanting the truth, wanting the information, being the leaders. You folks are the ones that are going to be able to spread the word. When the lights go out and everything is dark, and it's you folks are going to be the very people who are going to lead this remnant to the next level, through the darkness into the light, and through the tribulations and trials, small t tribulations and trials, into the light to fight another day. And I'm going to say fight, struggle, whatever, but we have to get through this together. It's you that he was talking about. And that struck me it really did. It struck me. Joe, I don't really have anything to add to that. I thought, wow, that was...
Well, yeah, no, and I would like to... I didn't get a chance to call Mr. McGuire back today, which I'll do that this weekend, and I want to get him back on, and if he could start where he ended. There was a lot more we didn't get into. The show went so fast yesterday. We hit on a number of important subjects, but still so much more to talk about with him. And, he has a great head on his shoulders. He knows exactly what he is doing. He knows what the Lord has done for him in his life. What he is doing for the Lord now is spreading the word about the gospel and the good news about the salvation of Jesus Christ. And anybody who does that, in my opinion, especially as humbly as Mr. McGuire, I want to have him on the show as much as possible. And there was a lot of email that I got, too, that people did ask if we could have him back on, and if so, that he could pick up where he left off with the vision. And he got real emotional and teared up when talking about that vision, an indication to some that he has been touched by the Lord and really knows what he's talking about and knows, what he was shown was a true vision from the Lord and not, something that could be come from a different spirit or something obviously he didn't make up. And it's that amount of passion he has,
right,
that is so uplifting also. What I want to move on to here is play this clip of Obama. And what Obama says is, unfortunately, he's constrained by what the Founding Fathers did in creating the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. But here's Obama mocking gun owners and, at the same time, the Founding Fathers.
One last thing I'm going to mention is that during this conversation, I hope you don't mind me quoting you, Joe. Joe Garcia, I thought, also made an important point, and that is that the opponents of some of these common sense laws have ginned up fears among responsible gun owners that have nothing to do with what's being proposed, nothing to do with the facts, but feeds into this suspicion about government. You hear some of these quotes: I need a gun to protect myself from the government. We can't do background checks because the government's going to come take my guns away. Well, the government's us. These officials are elected by you. They are elected by you. I am elected by you. I am constrained, as they are constrained, by a system that our founders put in place. It's a government of and by and for the people. And so surely we can have a debate that's not based on the notion somehow that your elected representatives are trying to do something to you other than potentially prevent another group of families from grieving the way the families of Aurora or Newtown or Columbine have grieved. So we've got to get past some of the rhetoric that gets perpetuated.
That's right, Mr. Obama. We do have to get past some of the rhetoric that is let out there, and a lot of it is by you and your administration. This from Lou Rockwell's blog, U.S. Military, Catholics and Evangelicals are examples of religious extremism. I guess the government worshiping wing of Christianity isn't quoting Romans 13 enough. The claims that Christians are religious extremists came in a presentation sanctioned and funded by the U.S. Army. Here's the funniest part. When a dissenting member of the Army talked with the presenter, who said that Christians are extremists, the presenter told him she got her information from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And that's all that says there in the little Lou Rockwell blog area. And they have not only demonized Christians and people who believe in Jesus Christ, but people who believe in controlled authority of the federal government. And back to what Obama says, you know, people wanting guns for defending themselves against the government, and those people are us. Well, Mr. Obama, let's go back to the Weather Underground and your friends, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, and Larry Graffold, who infiltrated that group as an informant working with the FBI, and has told us on this show many of times, and has a famous video, I'll say, very well-known video, where he talks about their plans for exterminating the capitalist in America through concentration or re-education camps for their diehard belief in a capitalist system. So, yes, excuse us for having a little bit of concern when we see a tyrant in office who wants to disarm the population of this nation, not only disarm us from the ability to defend ourselves with guns, but also disarming this nation from the ability to have the means to build up any kind of tools or supplies we would need to resist in any meaningful way by destroying the economy, by destroying the political system even further, and finally by destroying the reputation America once held as being the beacon for freedom of the world. We are now looked upon by a lot of nations, as we should be, one of the biggest perpetrators of murder in the world with our multinational, multi-country drone program, not authorized by Congress, killing thousands of people a year in many different countries across the world with no due process. Sorry if we're concerned about our freedom from government intrusion when you sign laws that allow for the have already allowed for the taking away of any constitutional right we have had through the NDAA, through the Enemy Expatriation Act. Not only that, but now through Obamacare, we see the takeover of what is left of the private sector in medicine. And Obamacare is popping up in the news again, as many private plans people already have.
Well, wait, before you go down that road, before you go down that road, too far down that road, Let me go back to what you were saying about the religious extremist groups, because this happened basically in our own backyard. It happened at a briefing here in Pennsylvania. It was given to an Army Reserve unit here in Pennsylvania. It was an equal opportunity training brief titled Extremism and Extremist Organizations. Now, here's the issue, and I've got the training material document. I've got the PDF document. The material mentions, this is incredible, it mentions neo-Nazis, the KKK, and other white supremacist organizations. Now, pictures are shown on various slides of people in Klan attire wearing it or holding Nazi flags. It also gets into the significance of gang tattoos and racist acronyms, and the significance of numbers were also discussed. And that's a very interesting point that we should bring up. But anyway, the material on gangs and racist organizations is similar to one to what one might receive from a local police briefing, perhaps, on gang issues after teaching on neo-Nazis in the military, such as Timothy McVeigh. But the material makes this amazing leap. If you look at it, it's, and as you pointed out, Joe, it singles out Christians. The very, very first group on this list of dangerous organizations is Evangelical Christianity. It's listed just like that. Catholicism and ultra-Orthodox Judaism are also on the list of extremist organizations. Now, after this briefing, one of the attendees describing himself as an evangelical, he told the trainer that, wait a second, I'm pretty offended by what you said. And he asked for a copy of the briefing and the materials, which, once again, I've got a copy. The material describes religious extremism as those, as you said, Joe, as those having beliefs, attitudes, feelings, or actions that are, quote, far removed from the ordinary. But folks, what this government, the leaders of this government, what they are doing is redefining what is ordinary. But then it goes on, elaborates that every religion has some followers that believe in that their beliefs, customs, and so on are the only right way, and others practicing religious is the wrong way. But the fact is, when you go from evangelical Christianity to Islamic fundamentalism, well, really there is no Islamic fundamentalism listed here. It's Al Qaeda.
I want to correct you here. The AP has now made it part
the
of
AP
their policy.
Style book, right.
You don't say the word, what was it now? Islamist? Or illegal alien?
Right. And I've got the AP style book here somewhere.
Yeah.
All journalists have a copy of it.
But Tuesday, the Associated Press decided that it was going to discontinue the use of the terms illegal immigrant, and also the term Islamist.
Well, right. And isn't it interesting, out of this briefing that I referenced, not only are these key terms missing, but you know what else is missing?
Common sense?
Well, yeah, that too. But see, this briefing had listed incidents of religious extremism causing deaths. But guess what wasn't on there? Fort Hood, the shooting from Fort Hood, where you had Muslim Major Nidal Hassan, opening fire on fellow soldiers and shouting "Allahu Akbar."
That was workplace violence.
13 dead, 30 injured. Yeah, workplace violence. It was at the. But I look. If you think that Obama is the sole impetus behind this, no. Bush greased the skids, allowed this to happen. Grover Norquist brought in a lot of Islamic apologists, a lot of Islamic terrorists, the Muslim Brotherhood, into Bush's administration and into this regime. As a result, the revolving door of the White House allows in Islamic terrorists who are setting the policy. We are being destroyed from within. This is the whole point. See, once again, there are websites out there who focus in on Islamic terrorists. There right. are Islamic terrorists, believe me. But that's all they say. It's Islamic terrorism here and there. Look, ladies and gentlemen, Islamic terrorism is a tool of the globalists. They exploit the fundamentalists as well they do with the white supremacists in order to accomplish the larger goal.
Let's look at some of the UN goals. They want to abolish private property. They want to abolish patriotism. They want to abolish family, religions, all orders of governments. They want to abolish 90% upwards of the people on this planet and their right to exist. And back to Mark Potok, Southern Poverty Law Center, Year in Hate, that was being referred to as demonizing the evangelical and Catholic group, starts his report starts is read like this. The radical right grew explosively in 2011, the third such dramatic expansion in many years. Their growth was fueled by spearheaded fears generated by economic dislocation, a proliferation of demonizing conspiracy theories, the changing racial makeup of America, and the prospect of four more years under a black president who many on the far right view as the enemy to their country.
Well, there you have it.
We went over this many times. We played hard to listen to clips from MSNBC's Ed Schultz, Lawrence O'Donnell, and Chris Matthews, and from CNN interviewing Mark Potok on these issues, basically stating that the extremist groups that they're talking about, these anti-government patriot movement Christian terrorists, commit no violence, but are listed at the top of the list. And they are not holding anything back in this year's report, as they have listed churches, church groups, such as the Church of Jesus Christ. They've also listed sheriffs for the Constitution, groups such as those. People like Richard Mack are listed as hate groups in this report. And the way that they lump in, you know, the neo-Nazi Aryan Nation movement with the Christians is further proof of how they, you know, go to, if you look at the previous DHS reports, the MIAC report, the DHS Homeland, what was it, the Countering Domestic Extremism and Insurgency,
right.
They listed anti-abortionists, people who are Christian, people who are patriots, people who are constitutionalist as extremists. And even though this is an individual, the Southern Poverty Law Center is not a governmental group, they are basically, like you said, a branch, a mouthpiece for the Department of Justice.
Exactly. And let me just interrupt the flow here just for a moment. Sorry, folks. If you go to the Hagman and Hagman Report.com, the Christians United Broadcasting Network has set this up. You can watch us live if you so choose. Plus, it's our understanding the audio is pretty doggone good there. Not choppy. Very, very nicely streamed. I want to thank Troy from the Christians United Broadcasting Network for that. That's the Hagman and Hagman Report.com, spelled out. The Hagman and Hagman Report.com. You can, there's also a chat board there as well. So if you want to change platforms from BTR to that venue, you could watch us there live. You could see us. And of course, The blue dot probably in this case should go over Joe's face this time. But anyway, I didn't want to disrupt the flow, but I do believe that there are a lot of people that was receiving some emails saying, how can you watch what we're doing? And this is part of it. This is our studio cam. But Joe, you're right. And I know Alex Jones today was talking a lot about you muted yourself there. I hit the button. I'm sorry. Yeah, it, what they're doing to Christian churches. I believe Alex Jones had a pastor on today. Somebody they raided a Christian church. IRS.
I didn't see that.
It's amazing. But we are at war, folks. If you're a Christian, your war has been brought to your doorstep, like it or not. War has been brought to your doorstep, and yeah. We really have to prepare for this.
Yeah, we do. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through some important news headlines as we had guests on the last few nights. Some of the things we're going to hit on are the feds have raided indoor gardeners, finding only tomatoes and squash plants. This is more of what we talked about, the Monsanto Protection Act and the attack on farmers, individual farmers throughout the nation. Also, a court rules 8 Oregon children to be vaccinated against the parents' will. Also, we've had a third major oil spill in a week as the Shell pipeline has broken in Texas now, also in Arkansas, we reported earlier this week. We had job numbers come out that the unemployment rate went from 7.7 to 7.6 in March, but there are details that the reason for that drop is because there is a huge number of people who stopped looking for employment. It wasn't because the unemployment rate went down and more people found work. It is that more people stopped looking for work. Also, back to the North Korea, Russia, China, U.S. situation, Russia strategic bombers practice strikes on U.S. missile defenses in Asia. This out of the Washington Free Beacon. Also, some gun control news today. The Senate passes the House version of a gun control bill in Maryland. And, you're not muted. So
I know.
I hear you wrestling around with fighting with paper or whatever it is you're doing over there. Maryland state senators voted 28-19 Thursday evening to pass the House version of sweeping gun control legislation that requires fingerprinting and licensing. This in Maryland state. Senate President Mike Miller said that the bill would head to the governor's desk on Thursday night. It's a far-reaching bill, but at the same time, I supported a number of the amendments the House adopted, Miller said. The legislation bans assault-style weapons, sets a 10-bullet limit on magazine, requires training for the first-time handgun buyers, requires background checks, fingerprinting, and requires a license to legally own the firearm. Only 5 other states have similar laws requiring fingerprinting, those being Connecticut, Massachusetts, Hawaii, New York, and New Jersey. Gun control advocates applauded the bill, of course, predicting it will become a national model for other states to follow. They are going to do it, to follow Maryland's lead in acting fingerprint licensing. Fingerprint licensing is the best way states can prevent gun violence, said Vinnie DeMarco, president of Maryland to Prevent Gun Violence. Vinnie, I don't agree with you there. Fingerprinting, people who buy guns legally, will not stop any or prevent any gun violence, measurable gun violence. The problem is not the guns. The problem is the society and the people who live in the society and how decadent we have become. Another news out of Baltimore, Howard County Council approves new stormwater fee, basically a rain drain fee. Howard County property owners will be expecting a new fee on their annual tax bill in July. This is included in the passage of 17 amendments. Howard County Council voted to approve legislation creating a state-mandated storm sewer fee to fund stormwater restoration projects. The average resident property owner will be charged about $105. More of the government imposing their will upon the American people.
And that's the issue here. You might think storm sewers, with everything they've got, with everything that's going on, why in the world would we be talking about storm sewers or issues like this? Everything that is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, is taking place. It's about control. It's not about the storm sewers. It's not about fixing or doing anything with the infrastructure. It is about the takeover, the centralization, the revenue increasing. You've got to understand it for what it is. So when you are at home on a Sunday morning and you're looking at the Sunday paper and you're looking at the headlines, and you see something as innocuous as, oh, something like you just mentioned, Joe, about storm sewers or infrastructure, understand what's taking place here, which is really a larger part of Agenda 21, which is part of the United Nations initiative, the New World Order, One World Governance. And boy, I sound like a broken record with this, but in the end, and at the final, in the final analysis, this is what it's all about. It's about this takeover. It's, and Obama, and folks, believe me when I say this, Obama was selected to usher in this final takeover of our country, the final death blow. And you know what really bothers me, ladies and gentlemen? And think about this. Do you think that George W. Bush didn't know? Do you think that George W. Bush has his hands clean in this? I don't believe so.
No, and you might have been the only one that used to think that. Maybe it was. I remember those days. But no, they just met. Carter, Bush 1, Bush 2, Obama, and Clinton just met.
Right. I'm having audio issues. Are you having audio issues?
Yeah, I'm hearing distortion. And it might be just in between us, as I don't see anybody talking about it.
All right.
But yeah, they all met together for the new opening of a library. Was it a Bush library that they were opening? It was some kind of ceremonial.
It could have been the Clinton. You know, they're all globalists.
But yes, going back to the Bush having blood on his hands, all I have to say is the 2002 Patriot Act. How much did that enable our constitutional rights to be usurped? How much did that give the excuse of terrorism to be used by these elected officials who aren't worth their paycheck when they vote against the American people's fundamental rights granted not by government but by our Creator? They are using that as an excuse to continually impose themselves in our lives through laws, whether it be tax laws, political laws, how you're allowed to, the Second Amendment, which says you shall be able to own a gun and that right shall never be infringed. Look at what they have done in just 6 months' time since Aurora and Newtown. Look at how they have imposed our rights, not only on the Second Amendment, on the Fourth Amendment. We have naked body scanners being deployed on the streets in New York City. We have the TSA and their Viper teams running checkpoints across highways all across America, airports, bus stations, train stations. We have the military training on U.S. soil, not only the U.S. military, but foreign military. Yes, I'll say foreign military. Russian troops are here training on U.S. soil. U.N. soldiers are here training on U.S. soil, despite whatever news agency people listen to. The Department of Homeland Security is buying and has made purchase requests for over 1.6 billion bullets. Not only that, the Army has posted job listings for internment and resettlement operation soldiers. those internment and resettlement operation soldiers are to do what their job description, job title says. Take American people and move them out of their homes and put them into internment camps or resettlement camps in the case of an emergency. And that emergency does not have to be confined to U.S. soil. It could be a shooting somewhere in Latin America on a street corner, and the president, you know, feeling today's the day, he is going to declare a state of emergency. We don't need to have an actual emergency to have a state of emergency declared. And we are already living under martial law. It is just not the kind where we are. It is in your face. It is a very slow style, slow encroaching, incremental martial law where we are left with an illusion of freedom. But that illusion of freedom stops when you try to do things like travel where the TSA is, where you're trying to drive around near the border, not even trying to cross the border. No border security, amnesty for all these illegal aliens, yet huge build-ups of Border Patrol personnel and checkpoints in and on American soil, stopping Americans on a daily basis. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. This country is no longer a republic. It is not even a democracy, as some of the talking heads on the TV will hint to. It is a fascist, neo-Nazi, communist, totalitarian, authoritarian regime. And that is what we live under, and we will continue to live under until either the Lord comes back, this nation is destroyed, and the people are vacated for the resources, or who knows what our future really holds.
You're exactly right. We're seeing a lot right now, a lot of things. It seems like all of these stories, I mean, you could go to various internet websites or even look at the news, take your pick, whether the discussion is about the DHS arming themselves, or it's about the and this is something we need to get into tonight as well, the attack, the assault on precious metals. Have you noticed, ladies and gentlemen, that for most Americans for all of Americans, the
metals are being manipulated.
Yes.
Gold is down. Silver is down. We had silver hit $26 yesterday. It's back up to 27. Good time to buy if you have extra money, if you have your other preparations in order, if you have free or disposable income, then now would be a good time to buy, in my opinion, because it will not guarantee you any type of safety or security, but it will be there in case we have an opportunity to use it or to use it to help others or ourselves.
But we have to understand, to think about this, and the historical aspect of things. Remember August of 2011, gold hit almost $2,000. Now it's gold went up to $1,917 an ounce, August 23rd, 2011. That was a $500 increase in about 8 months. Now think about this for a moment. That capped a rise over a period of 10 years from $272 at the end of December of 2000. I mean, it's incredible when you stop and think about how the price of both gold and silver has risen, and how now with the Dow and all the influx of money, the Dow is so high, and people have and folks, this is deliberate. People have a hard time understanding this. They're saying, well, everything is fine. The Dow is high. The unemployment numbers are great, or better. There's a recovery. Yet gold and silver. Gold is still at, I'm not sure what it is right now. I don't track it. I don't have to worry about it. Silver, I don't have to track either. But either way, the $26, $27
gold right now is $1,582 an ounce. Silver is $27.24 an ounce.
Folks, it's all an illusion. Please understand that this is all an illusion. This is going to break free like you can't believe. When everything's in Japan, as we mentioned earlier in the program, when Japan explodes, the money, and as the money comes into the United States from the Eurozone, when everything comes home and piles in front of Ben Bernanke's front yard, and we should lay the blame in part to the Keynesian economists like Bernanke and others, but when this comes home to roost, got to tell you, you're going to see metals, the price of metals, no longer, they will lose the ability to manipulate the prices. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Hagman Report this Friday, the 5th day of April 2013. We are on video at Homeland, I'm sorry, we're on video at thehagmanandhagmanreport.com. Stay with us, we're right back. Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines, you just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Washington's overseas drone strikes and the surveillance use at home has certainly attracted the attention of activists. Groups across the U.S. political spectrum say the strikes breach American law and hurt the country's international standing. Now, a month-long anti-drone campaign has kicked off with a protest in Manhattan. RT's Marina Portnaya filed this report.
A month-long nationwide anti-drone campaign has kicked off in the U.S., and here in Midtown Manhattan, dozens have gathered to protest Washington's use of drones for targeted assassinations overseas and domestic surveillance here at home. Organizers say the goal of this month-long campaign is to bring the widest possible public attention to the ways in which drones, they say, are being used to violate sovereignty, due process, privacy, and freedom of assembly.
How dare they even talk about drones on a domestic aspect?
We're being reassured constantly that, oh, it's surgical precision bombing. It's not. That's an outright lie.
It's supposed to target terrorists, but sadly, too many civilians have been killed by these drones as well. And that includes children and women.
We need to come to peace, and you can't bomb the world to peace.
The U.S. has a reported 100 drone basing sites, and critics say the biggest problem is a lack of transparency. The campaign received an unexpected boost last month when Washington's drone campaign came into question with John Brennan's nomination for CIA director. Reporting from New York, Marina Portnaya, RT.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday, April 5th edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Joe Hagman here, along with my co-host, Doug Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman team. Open up this hour by starting with a news story been wanting to cover for a few days. Tens of thousands of Obamacare navigators to be hired. Tens of thousands of healthcare professionals, union workers, and community activists hired as navigators to help Americans choose Obamacare options starting October 1st could earn $20 an hour or more, according to new regulations issued Wednesday. The 63-page rule covering navigators, drawn up by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, also said the government will provide free translators for those not fluent in English, no matter what their native language is. The proposed requirements would also include that such entities and individuals provide consumers with information and assistance in the consumer preferred language at no cost to the consumer, which would include oral interpretation of non-English languages and the translation of written documents in non-English languages when necessary to ensure meaningful access. The rules also addressed conflict of interest and other potential issues that navigators could face as the public's first stop on the Obamacare trail. It is still not clear how many investigators will be required, but California provides a hint. It wants 21,000. That could be an expansive proposition. The proposed rules, now open for public comment, suggested an estimate pay of $20 to $48 per hour. There is a section proposed regulation where our financial analysis estimate how financially significant the regulations will be. In that section, for the purposes of estimating that impact, they assume navigators would be paid an average of $20 an hour. And the states and organizations are not required by the federal government to set any payment levels for these employees, added one economist who said the $20 is just average being used. The rules allow navigators to come up from the ranks of unions, healthcare providers, and community action groups such as ACORN and Planned Parenthood. They are required to provide unbiased advice, as we know they will. Some in Congress are already wary of the navigators. Louisiana Republican Charles Bastoni, Jr., chairman of the House and Ways and Means Oversight Subcommittee, raised questions about a voter registration provision in the Obamacare application Americans will have to fill out to receive health care. and whether Democratic-leaning activists will influence which party people choose to join.
I just want to chime in here and a message to those people who think this Affordable Health Care Act is a good idea, okay?
The navigators, the regulators.
Okay, yes, yes. Now think about this. There was an article, it's called the Executive Intelligence Review, June 5th, 2009, that explained Hitler's T4 program, which actually was revived in Obama's health care reform program. And in July 1939, just briefly, folks, just so you get an idea of the framework, it's something that we're dealing with right now. July 1939, just consider this, a conference of medical professionals was held in Berlin. And participating were the professors and chairmen of the departments of psychiatry and leading universities and medical schools of Germany, many of them the most respected professionals in their fields. Now, so what we had in Nazi Germany was this group of psychiatrists and medical professionals. Well, the subject, what was the subject? The subject was, what would be the criteria for determining what patients would be considered to have lives unworthy to be lived? Now, although this Affordable Health Care Act, it doesn't use those words, isn't that what they are doing by choosing a certain age and saying, Obama admitted this, actually, in one of his own speeches, where he said at some point a pill will have to do rather than life-prolonging efforts. In other words, hey, we're going to treat you conservatively rather than perform extensive end-of-life measures. Well, this is the same thing that ushered in this. Well, this is the policy that ushered in euthanasia, eugenics in Nazi Germany. You see this program, which was started years before, and in a way, our program here was started years before, was used against concentration camp inmates and handicapped children, for example. But it was officially put into effect back in October of 1939, several months or 3 months after it was raised in July. But here's the T4 program in a nutshell, and see how it compares to what we're going through today. Hitler's T4 program versus affordable health care today. You see, they developed a questionnaire for the doctors, the healthcare professionals, the psychiatrists. This questionnaire was developed ostensibly to assess patients. But when it was done, it was a secret order. Why it was done? It was a secret order from Hitler. It took its name from the office address in which it was created, which was Tiergarten 4, which housed the coordinating organization for the program, the Reich Work Group of Sanatoriums and Nursing Homes. Isn't that interesting? In charge were Philip Bühler, the chief of the chancellery, and Dr. Karl Brandt, now Hitler's personal physician and chief medical officer, was Dr. Karl Brandt, by the way. But you see, their first task was to devise this specific questionnaire, which would be used to categorize the targeted people. The people that they didn't want to be hanging around and dragging down their affordable health care system. Anyone suffering, for example, from diseases like, diseases that would make them unemployable. Okay, think about this now. Unemployable. Or only employable for the most menial tasks. Patients or people who were continually institutionalized over the period of like 5 years before, those deemed to be criminally insane, and get this, all non-German patients. Well, you see, we're embracing the illegal immigrants or illegal aliens, I'm sorry, the illegal aliens in this country under this Affordable Health Care Act. But who aren't we embracing? Just swap out non-German patients for, oh, political dissidents, because within the questionnaires, and these questionnaires are being developed right now by the very people Joe mentioned, although it would appear to be some neutral statistical analysis survey which delved into biographical information and health information, no, it went further. These go further into financial situations, because what do we have? We have care based on affordability. Well, we have other concerns as well. But you see, the responsibility for filling out these forms in Germany fell to the physicians at the various institutions or healthcare centers where these people attend. This is the same template that we're seeing today. I guess what I'm saying is the T4 program, which ushered in the euthanasia of the elderly, the killing of the anyone deemed criminally insane, or in this case, anyone who doesn't agree with the Obama regime agenda or the Green Movement. Yes, it's that serious. Or gun owners are classified in a different manner as those on the other hand. So what I'm saying is, do the research of what the T4 program in Nazi Germany was. Take a look at it and compare it to what's going on today. Look at the council of experts they had back in Nazi Germany. Guess what? Oh, yes, and guess what this program was labeled as? It was a reformation of the healthcare system. The words, the fundamental transformation of the healthcare system, were used in Nazi Germany for the T4 program to make it affordable for the German people. And that's exactly what the template is for today. Other proposals, just to really quickly, Joan, I'm going to turn it back to you so we can cover more news. But this is so important, because the model for today's healthcare plan comes from the model used by Nazi Germany. You might say, you're crazy, Doug. Folks,
is that like the Homeland Security Act coming from the German, what was their Homeland Protection?
Yeah, very much so. Look,
who would have thought?
Just really quick, one proposal. If you doubt me, here's one proposal. Former Senator Tom Daschle, the man who Obama wanted to appoint Secretary of Health and Human Services, special health czar in the White House. By the way, his appointment was derailed over tax problems. Go figure. Well, Daschle's plan, as he laid out in his 2008 book, Critical, What We Can Do About the Healthcare Crisis, centers around the creation of an all-powerful federal health board, which would be able to act without political interference, as the Federal Reserve System does with monetary policy. Joe, isn't that great? Oh, man. See, it would have a board of governors, too, just like the Federal Reserve System. And, of course, clinicians, health benefit managers, economists, researchers, and such, but they would command this huge staff of highly paid people. Oh, and what did you call them? Those people you were talking about?
Which people?
The people we were just talking about. You mentioned the
globalists?
No. The people, the healthcare worker people.
Oh, the
guy.
Okay, the regulators or the navigators.
Navigators, thank you. Navigators. You see, the same thing appears in the T4 plan, but they're not called navigators. They're assistants who would help, and they would actually determine treatments and determine which would be the best plan or aspect part of the plan to get into. So,
are you racist?
I mean, yes, apparently. I guess. I don't know. Maybe.
I have to ask because after watching MSNBC all day, you know, I was taught that anybody who opposes Obama or any of his policies has to oppose them because of his racial upbringing or his racial status. And if you don't agree with Obama and you're white, you are on the list.
And a Christian. So I've got like five.
Well, that's a whole. I mean, if you're a Christian, that you're automatically racist. So.
All right. Okay, I got you. But folks, just look at do research on Hitler's T4 healthcare plan, and you'll see how it stacks up against this affordable healthcare plan. It's time to worry.
I learned something new today with that, the T4 plan. I'm going to actually do some research on that this weekend and look into that. That is very serious. Back to Obamacare and his budget, what came out today was some quotes, one being that the White House promises Obama budget will blow your mind. Well, here's part of Obama's budget. Will take aim at wealthy IRAs. President Obama's budget to be released next week will limit how much wealthy individuals, like Mitt Romney, can keep in his IRA and other retirement accounts.
I saw that.
Yeah. The proposal would save around $9 billion over a decade. Will save around $9 billion. What, you mean steal $9 billion over a decade? A senior administration official said, while also bringing more fairness to the tax code. The senior administration official said that wealthy taxpayers can currently accumulate many millions of dollars in these accounts, substantially more than is needed to fund reasonable levels of retirement savings. Who do these people think they are? I guess we have answered that question. Just how out in the open they are. Okay, you don't have health care? Fine. In order to pay your fair share, we're going to force you to pay health care. And if you refuse to do that, well, you're going to get a fine. You don't need this much money in your retirement account. It's not fair. Nobody was offered equal fairness, that we would all have an equal outcome. We were offered an equal opportunity. Each person with a capitalist system, the freedom of an open market, has the ability, if they put their mind to it, or I should say had the ability, and still does in certain industries, to rise from, you know, being the janitor of a corporation to owning your own multi-billion-dollar corporation. If you had the
plan. Dream, once dreamt, the American dream.
And there it is shattered. There is no more American dream. The American dream is for people to get on some sort of government program that will pay for your housing.
Right.
This is the new American dream. You can have cable TV. You can have all the genetically modified foods you want as long as you get it from the government and you stay in line and you do not raise questions about their policies.
Well,
you have to be a blind follower, a blind sheep of basically a ward of the state. And one thing we talked about and did not play the audio clip, which I don't have uploaded anymore, of a Planned Parenthood representative talking about what to do if a baby survives an abortion attempt.
I saw that. She did not answer. I heard the whole thing.
Said,
I saw it.
They made the argument that the child, after a botched attempt of an abortion, is still alive, is part of a community, not belonging to the parents, not belonging to anything, not the creator.
It's
you are part of the government, and then the government can decide if you are allowed to live after that botched abortion.
Well, it was clear. It was clear that she did not, but it was even worse than that. She did not even really answer the questions posed to her, and she was friends. Look, it pains my heart to characterize someone as scum, but I'm sorry. At the level when you talk about the death of a child like that, or not saving a child, having a child that survives an abortion, refusing the child medical care, allowing it to die a slow, painful, agonizing death, and to be able to stand up there and just not admit to what their ultimate agenda is. I can't think of a different word for that, but that's the agenda of this administration. But what you were talking about before I go off on a rant on that, I think we can't gloss over this IRA issue, because the IRA issue is, the 401k issue is so important, all right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we saw what happened in Cyprus.
Right.
This had nothing
right.
to do with IRAs. This only had to do with regular banking activity. People
right.
who chose banks to deposit their money in all of a sudden were forced to give up a percentage of their money. And what we didn't hear as a follow-up to the Cyprus story was it wasn't 20% or 10% of the depositors' money that was seized. It was 60% plus in some cases. 60%.
Well, let's talk about what's going on here in the United States, because the United States is a beacon of freedom, or is like, I
was.
Mean, it was, is, but here's the deal. Back in, let's see, it was, goodness, it was last year, toward the end of last year, an investment company institute study published, it was published actually in November of last year, found that U.S. retirement assets totaled $18.5 trillion. That was at the end of the second quarter, midway through 2012. So think about this now, because this is important, folks. $18.5 trillion in retirement funds, in accounts all over the United States. $3.5 trillion. Did I say trillion? $18.5 trillion is what I meant to say if I didn't say it. $3.5 trillion was in IRAs and $5.1 was in 401ks. So you've got $3.5 trillion IRAs, $5.1 in 401ks. But here's the situation. Since 2010, the U.S. Department of the Treasury and the Department of Labor have been holding hearings jointly on various plans designed to introduce government-mandated retirement plans and investment options, including government annuities invested in U.S. trade or U.S. Treasury bonds. I don't know why I'm saying trade, but U.S. Treasury debt. So what they're trying to do is take that money out of your IRA and out of your 401k and put it into Treasury bonds to pay off the public debt. They're taking your money to do this. This is described in the issuance of a 256-page budget proposal for the fiscal year 2013. The Obama administration endorsed automatic IRAs, which was a plan introduced into Congress back 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, in 2010, by John Kerry and Jeff Bingaman, in which private companies would automatically be enrolled in government-mandated IRAs, which would force businesses to contribute on behalf of their employees some sort of default amount equal to 3% of an employee's pay, unless an employee specifically opts out of the plan.
And
so if you're in this plan, you're going to get a haircut.
The Drudge Report has the title right on this, on the IRA, Obama Budget Targets Retirement Accounts, and that is exactly what it's
happening. What did you just say? What was the name of that?
Obama Budget Targets Retirement Accounts, and that
okay.
links to the Obama Budget Takes Aim at Wealthy IRAs. Also, the budget will include cuts to programs in hope of a deal, and they are, next week Obama will take the political risk of formally proposing cuts to Social Security and Medicare in his annual budget, an effort to demonstrate his willingness to compromise with Republicans and receive prospects for a long-term deficit reduction deal, administration officials say. That from the New York Times.
All of this is coming.
What about Social Security? Do they need to cut? Because from my understanding, Social Security takes money out of individuals' paychecks. It is not their money to begin with. What can you cut from Social Security?
But look at the numbers.
Theirs. Oh, it's not theirs to cut.
It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme, and we are at the lower end of the pyramid. We're not going to get any money from Social Security. It's not going to be there. If you are 50 or under, I would even dare say 55 or under, unless you are currently disabled and seeking Social Security right now, you're not going to get Social Security for retirement. Or if you do, you might get it at 90. Okay, there's just no way because of the pyramid. When Social Security began, what was it, 35-1? It was some number that made it somewhat healthy in terms of your getting your money. Now it's just gonzo. It's upside down to the point where it's always running in the red. Plus the sacrosanct account of Social Security, even though you said it's your money, your contributions. No, it's not. Do you realize, folks, think about this now. All of the people out there shopping at Walmart or Costco or whatever, if you would take all the people that have jobs and you say, look, a glitch in the system is going to require you to actually get the gross amount of your paycheck and then write a check every week or biweekly, however you get paid. Write a check for your portion of Social Security, your portion of federal income tax, your portion of state income tax. Do you realize that there would be a revolution in about 2 weeks' time or one paycheck cycle? Mm-hmm. Because people – and why do you think – and think about this. Why do you think it's automatically deducted? Because if people knew or really stopped to think
– they wouldn't pay a penny.
Oh. No, so this is the real crux of it. But now Social Security is really gone. And when we see this economic collapse, we're going to have it's just yet we can pay what $800 million in aid for Arab Spring. We could pay how much to the Muslim Brotherhood, how much to Egypt. It's ridiculous.
We can give aid in the billions of dollars to dozens of countries on a yearly basis, and yet we see the problems we have here. The cuts
right.
need to be made. The we all need to pay our fair share. The rich should not be rich because they didn't start that business.
Well,
Obama did.
Right.
Or something of that nature. The government...
You didn't create this. You didn't.
The government, and this is the mentality of these people. The government is God. There is no God than the government, other than the government. And the God they worship is Lucifer. So
truly.
We are a nation governed by people who worship Satan. And that's why the Lord says in the Bible, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. There shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwell in shall languish. And it goes on. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. As they are increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. What are we seeing in this country? We have seen this country's belief system been changed, not only changed, manipulated from a Judeo-Christian value system, whether people followed all the laws all the time? Were we always a righteous people? No, we were always a sinful people. But we were a sinful people willing to repent, willing to change, willing to do better, to help others. Now our society has been created and manipulated into this culture of death, destruction, and lack of any care, any emotion for other human beings. If it is not self-serving, most of the people in this nation do not care about it. If it is not affecting them, the people do not care about it. Not until it is, we see like Bill Maher on TV. Well, I can't believe how much taxes were taken out of my check. I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. You were the one calling for it, Bill Maher. Don't be surprised. And all these other people, he's not the only one. You know, everybody has their problems. We just need to constantly be in a state of repentance and prayer, those of us who are in the Lord. And we need to be praying, especially for those who are doing this to us, hoping that they can change their ways. And even though it will not change the future of this nation or what God has planned out for this world, it might be able to change individual hearts. And that is what the Lord asks us to do, us being those in the Word, in having that relationship with Him. He asks us to go and preach His gospel to all who will listen in hopes of saving as many as possible. He did not make hell to punish people. He, in His own book, in His own word, states He wants everyone to be saved. Unfortunately, people make the choice and have that choice to make. We could be set here without a choice.
Right.
I mean, how many people are born?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying we have a choice whether we want to go to heaven or not. We make that choice through our actions, through what we do in our life.
Okay, that sounds okay. Better. All right, yeah, I got you. All right.
I mean, people don't have a choice when they are born, if they are born paralyzed, blind, who their parents are. Mm-hmm. And these are all earthly things. And the most important thing, the most important choice we will ever make in our life, we have the ability to choose. And to see people lost to damnation, eternal damnation, because they feel their way is better than the way of the Creator. They feel that their knowledge, their wisdom is more wise than the Creator. It is so sad and tragic to see, and that is the constructs of these globalists. What they are building are these soul traps, if you want to call them that, where we are so engulfed in our own problems in our own life, and we've become so self-loathing, self-pitiful. We don't care or have the concern or the compassion for the homeless person that we see pushing the shopping cart down the street every day. And I'm not talking to attack people. I'm talking to let people understand that we are called to a higher duty than to fulfill the pleasures of our flesh on this earth. If that's all we are doing here, we are in sin and we are in trouble when it comes to our eternal soul and where it will go. We're not promised tomorrow. We're promised nothing more than the opportunity to make that conscious decision of where we want our future spiritually. And people need to be very serious, especially in these times, as a nuclear strike could happen in a second, an earthquake could happen in a second. We could have a volcano, anything. We live in probably the most exciting and frightening times, I would say, and that I could ever think of through studying history, except for a few. We had the Germany in the 1930s and 40s. We had recently many government regimes turn against their people and slaughter them. Aside from the time when Jesus lived and Noah lived and Moses, I mean, God did not lead His people. Look at all the miracles that were performed. That when Moses helped lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of captivity, look at all of the blessings that God gave those people. He parted the Red Sea so they could flee from their enemies. Today, I was thinking about this last night when I was going home. In our case, this radio show.
Yes.
Look at all the doors that the Lord opened for us.
Oh, incredibly so.
Okay. Now think back to the Egyptians or the Israelites that were led out of Egypt and all the doors that were opened for them that they saw with their own eyes. Yet still many turned away and went back to turn their back on God's. Now, we might not be in a position when we're, as a collective, the listeners out there now and us here, where we're going to have, you know, the ocean parted to get away. But the things that have been done in our lives, at least I can attest to it, and I know you can too, it's God working. It's God opening the doors, doing these things for us, not us. And if we can't recognize those things that are done for us, those doors that are open, those are the same things, in my opinion, that the same signs that the Israelis were given being led out of Egypt.
I agree. Yeah, I understand. I got that. But I think everyone listening to the program,
they're all looking for a bigger sign. Everybody's looking for a bigger miracle, you know.
Yeah.
And really, it's through the small miracles. It's through...
You're exactly right. It's, folks, pay attention to the small things. That's where it's really going to pay off, when that little voice in the back of your head... I know that, just to personalize this, when Joe and I started this endeavor, we were pushing one way and it seemed like we were getting pulled in another direction. And when we stopped resisting, and I use that, it seemed to fall into place. But that resistance was us resisting what God was trying to do in our lives. So I would say to each one of you, if you feel like you're not getting ahead or you're not going forward, to reevaluate what your plans are, because God's got the plans for you. And I think back, my good friend who I talked to a lot about Noah building the ark. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? Like 100 years, a long time, okay? And can you imagine being his neighbor?
Okay. 120 years, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. And just think about this. You know, you're Noah, okay? And I know Bill Cosby does this great this great skit about Noah. But just think about this. You're out there, and God's telling you to build this ark. And it takes you, 120 years to build it. Imagine what Noah's neighbors are saying. Hey, Noah, hey, what's up with this? You know, what are you doing? You're nuts. You're crazy. Well, he listened, and he was making those preparations. And speaking of preparations, it's Friday. All right, ladies and gentlemen, think. What have you guys done? What have you done? Not you guys. I'm sorry. That's bad grammar. But to each listener, think for a moment. What have you done to prepare yourself, your family, your friends, whatever, your home? What have you done this week in terms of practical preparations? Have you done anything at all? And if not, why not? Have you made just that one little extra step, maybe that one little can of food? Have you done maybe just a little bit of research? You know, things you can start out small, start out slow. But I ask you, have you done anything to prepare this week? If not, do it this weekend. And include in your preparation, of course, your spiritual preparation, because we're going to see some things that are coming down the road here. When this economic tsunami hits us, when this North Korea blowout collateral damage hits us, and it's going to hit us, maybe not in our backyards or front yards here domestically, but when we see the exacerbation of things, of events,
in the Middle East, in Syria, and all of a sudden our men and women are now fighting on the ground in the Middle East. Yeah, we're going to see it. We're going to see a tsunami. So make the spiritual preparations now. Yeah. Let's open the phone lines before the top of the hour, Joe.
Yeah, and I wanted to do this because we have a few people on hold that we've been waiting to hear from for a while. We got Dave and Jason and a few others. We're going to go to Jason first, then we're going to go to Dave. Jason, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Where have you been, my friend?
Oh, Joe, God bless you. You know, I've been heavy in the heart, and a lot of us have been. And I just want to say, last night, the show that you guys had was incredible with Mr. McGuire.
Paul McGuire.
Absolutely. That show was absolutely incredible. And he told us what Jesus has been telling us, that we have to pray. And it grieves our hearts, guys. It grieves our hearts, because we know how wicked these people are. We understand how wicked they are. But at the same time, our Lord and Savior, and on the Sermon on the Mount, guys, okay, that's one of the most important messages that the Creator God, Yahovah, gave us, is that we must pray for those that persecute us, pray for those that hate you and despitefully use you. And guys, Doug, you know that I have every right, I have every single right to hate the people that did what they did to me, that sent me into a hospital for 20 hours just because I started a radio show. But you know what, Doug? I pray for those exact people every single day, Doug, because I know, I understand that they're lost. I understand that if they don't understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God had a son and he sent him here, I understand that they are lost for good, Doug, and Joe, and everybody that hears this. I'm telling you that every leader in this planet, that every leader right now, they have a principality over them. And we have to pray for them that they get away from that principality and break away from it and understand that God loves them too, just as he loves every single little soul that's born on this planet. I don't care if it's a baby in Iraq that was bombed by a cluster bomb by George W. Bush. God loved that little soul. And every single soul that's in a womb of a woman that gets pierced by something and it's aborted, it's a life. Every single breathing soul on this planet is a life. And if it didn't even take a breath, guess what? It was still a life. God knew it from the womb. So I just want to say to you guys that you're bringing in the very last harvest. And people like Pastor Paul Begley and Alex Jones and everybody that's out there on the radio that's giving truth is bringing the last harvest of every soul that can be saved, to be saved, into the ark. And we're at the end. And all of us that have the faith, please keep looking up. Because God knows your heart. He knew you from the womb. Repent. That's what I got to say, guys. I love you. God bless you.
Thanks, Jason.
I love you too, Jason. It's good to hear from you. Take care.
Yeah, I just want to say something real quick, Joe. I was trying to sign my comments in here real quick. You know, we're at the end, Jason said. And folks, we are. But no one really knows how long this end is going to be. There's a lot of people who believe. I was talking to my wife earlier today. And
transition phase. We're seeing what I believe is transitioning from the birth pains, and it speaks about in Matthew, how a woman went in labor, the contractions and the pains get more and more intense the closer and closer to birth. She comes, and I know a lot of our listeners have heard this before, but I believe we're right on the point where something is about to birth and change our world dramatically.
It doesn't. I just don't want people to if you woke up tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, and you heard that we fired and did a preemptive strike against North Korea, and even if there is some sort of blowback, immediate blowback by North Korea or China or whatever. You see, people will have a tendency to think, oh, this is the end. No. This is the beginning of the end. This is not the end. We have to lay it out a little bit differently or look at it differently as it's being laid out in front of us. This, we are not going to have a very clean, just a clean cut stoppage of things. So don't think for one moment that everything is going to be over. No, this is the beginning of the end, especially with the hostilities and all the rhetoric heating up over North Korea and what I believe are preemptive strikes that are going to take place. But you see, if you think the cut's going to be clean and short and bam, it's over, no. Prepare to be around through this a little bit longer. And I'm not talking about anything. I mean, prepare to go through this stuff a little bit longer. And hey, if it's shorter and we are able to avoid a lot of it, even the better, so much the better. But the bottom line is if we prepare, we can always be surprised that we didn't have to go through that the whole process. But this is not the end. This is the start of the end. I just wanted to comment about Jason's call about that.
All right, we're going to move along here. We're going to go to Dave in Long Island.
Hey, Dave. Dave,
you're live on the Hangman Report.
Hey, Joe, Doug. Amen
evening.
To Jason. Good evening, to
yes.
Doug.
What's
amen to Jason. I felt this passion. What was I going to say? I just, like I said, I watched The Passion of the Christ on Thursday. I didn't tune into the show. I wanted to do that. That was my Holy Thursday. I know a lot of people
sure.
don't believe or whatever, but that's the way I do it. It's a nice way. I don't think it's of the devil when I'm thinking about The Passion. But I watched The Passion of the Christ, and I literally, when they scourged him, it was unbelievable. I was on my knees.
It's powerful.
And I was trembling inside, and I was crying. So Homeland Security, yeah, I cried over my Lord. And no, I'm not a softy when it comes to standing up with the cross of Christ in my hand. And if that's how I'm going to die, well, then I'll die with the cross up above my head while you shoot me. And I ain't scared of that Homeland Security or Obama or all you mothers out there that might think that Christians are scared. We're not scared, baby. We have the cross of Christ, his blood all over us, and we ain't afraid of you. We know what's going to happen after we die. You people out there should know. All right, I'm sorry for getting off on that. Did anyone ever think... I'm sorry?
No, if it's what's on your heart, that's fine. Go ahead, Dave. Continue.
Did anyone ever think that maybe Obama, I'm reading from something I wrote, I had a thought that maybe Obama has the same goal as Ahmadinejad in the way of creating total chaos and destruction so the Mahdi will return and usher in the reign of Allah as God over every part of the world? You know? I was wondering about that.
Well the issue, Dave, let me just say that I believe that it's Obama's agenda to create the pan-Islamic state across the Middle East. You've got, and he's doing the work of Saudi Arabia. So does he have the same goal as Ahmadinejad in terms of the ushering in of the 12th Imam? There's a difference of ideology, but the ultimate goal is the same, and that's to create the chaos for the anti... See, people get this confused. It's his goal, I believe, is to create the fertile ground known as the chaos, and this is right out of the book of Alinsky, to usher in the Antichrist, to bring in the chaos, which will ultimately usher in the Antichrist. And that chaos is not only racial and societal, but it's also economic, and as I've said before, it's got London connections. And don't forget, Dave, too, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but we let you, so we're allowed to as well. Don't forget, too, when Obama was stopped in Perm as he was traveling as a junior senator for the United States with on the Luger delegation, and he was in Russia. Don't forget the passport debacle that he had with the FSB in Russia, where perhaps they thought or saw that he was a British royal subject because of his parental lineage, meaning that he was a subject of Great Britain. So, to answer your question, what does that have to do with the tea in China, cost of tea in China? Well, a lot, because you've got a foreign agent, regardless of where he's from, you've got a foreign agent or a cutout or Manchurian candidate in the White House that's, whose job it is to usher in the very same type of chaos of Ahmadinejad, perhaps from a different perspective, from the Alinsky perspective. So if you look at it from a larger perspective, yes. But when you get down to the micro details, no, I don't believe they're the same. Don't know. I mean, I really, yeah.
The other thing, Doug, can I ask you this? Benghazi, did is there any? What's the final outcome? Was Obama and Hillary and Panetta aware that they were under attack and watching it live?
Oh, of course.
I think they coordinated the attack.
No.
No, but of course.
So there's no way that so Obama definitely knew right away.
Abso-flippin-lutely.
Okay, so then it would be almost similar. I wrote something down under this. It's like Obama was Caesar or Nero. I'm not too good with history, but it was like he was Caesar or Nero, and watching gladiators fight to the death in the Colosseum, and then giving the thumbs down to the former SEALs by not sending help to rescue them, huh?
Well, in a way, yeah. I mean, he couldn't. You've got to understand, Dave, they were minutes away. The help was...
Yeah, I know. He basically gave the thumbs down, like, let them die.
Basically,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there's no way. But this guy wants to take away our guns, and he's out there crying tears, and he lets two former Navy SEALs die like that for 7 hours in a gunfight with their bloody fingerprints over the walls as they drag them out? And these people want to take away our guns, and you got the church, my Catholic church, saying, people in there saying, take away the guns, and you got that guy down in Tennessee, Franklin Graham, saying the same thing? Disarm America? What? It's unbelievable. And then you got the Christians that are dying in Africa and dying over there in the Middle East, and you don't hear Obama going over there and lecturing the Muslims about not killing the Christians, but you want to take away our guns, though, huh? We
Saudi
all better
Arabia,
think about whether
China.
We're going to give those guns up or not, because if we give those guns up, it looks like we're going to freaking die.
Dave, I know you live in New York, and let's talk hypothetical. Listen to me, okay? When I say this, we're talking a hypothetical. If you owned a gun, would you, Dave, register it according or pursuant to New York state law? Would you follow New York state law if you owned a gun?
I could only answer that to you off. I can't answer that specifically because there's a little. I can't answer that, Doug. I can't answer that because I'd have to talk to you off because there's something else involved with that.
I'll answer that. Okay, here's the deal. If I would live in New York State and I had a gun that was made illegal by these laws that were passed or by legislation or pending, former, current, whatever, I would be a criminal. I would not one second, and I'm telling you this, Dave. You don't have to answer this. I'm just telling you this. I'm going to tell you right now. I would never register a firearm in the United States of America. If that makes me a criminal, so be it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't incriminate myself.
And the Department of Homeland Security Gun Confiscation Task Force hasn't been there yet, Dave, because I petitioned for my $500, and I'm waiting.
We're split, going to split at $250.
And they said you weren't around the last couple of days. I thought my check was in the mail, and here we are.
Being that you guys voted for Obama, I think that you should invite Al-Qaeda over and have a dinner with Al-Qaeda. I think that's what
we got a leader here.
My dad.
All the people that voted for Obama, all the people that voted for Obama should put out an invitation to Al-Qaeda and have them come over and break bread with them. Isn't that good?
Well, we've already done that, my friend.
Yeah.
They just left right before the show.
And we're Al-Awlaki dining at the Pentagon after he's been...
No. I'm talking about the people that voted for Obama. All the people in the country, they should put out little envelopes to Al-Qaeda and say, come on over, because they voted for Obama. They love Obama. So now they should invite Al-Qaeda into their house.
Yeah.
I think
they should. That would be the good way of showing that they're behind Obama. If they really like Obama, then they should say, come on into our home. We voted for Hussein Obama, and we love you, Obama. So we, Lord Obama, let the Al-Qaeda come into our homes, and we will welcome. And we will show that we were so kind and loving people. We'll open our doors, and we'll open our closets to the nice Muslim Al-Qaeda. You know, give me a break. That's what they should do, though. I'm sorry. Thank you guys for letting me get my...
Top of the hour. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. I tell people about you guys all the time, you know, so...
That puts you on a different list altogether.
Hey, Dave, it's great to hear from you. You have a great weekend, and hopefully we hear from you again Monday. You take it easy there. We're going to let you go, okay?
You too. You're a good son. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right.
God bless you too, Dave. We are up against the top of the hour break. We are going to be right back with your phone calls for the rest of the show. 661-244-9839 is the number. And, yes, we will take your calls. As my dad cannot run the switchboard, I do. So I am the commander-in-chief of this show for the rest of the third hour. So give us a call if you want to talk about anything we hit, anything we missed.
I can't, but I just pretend to be stupid.
Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report, Hour 3 of this Friday edition. We'll be right back after this.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the Brick Pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task
of informing and alerting the American people. Confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of this Friday, April 5th, 2013 edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Joe Hagman here along with my co-host, Doug Hagman, and we are going to jump right back into phone calls. If you want to weigh in, the number is 661-244-9839. We are going to go to Pierre next, and then Sheila after Pierre. Pierre, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Excellent. I am here. My dad is talking to one of his sources now on the phone. So what's on your mind?
Hey, I didn't get all the show because I was at work. And I'm not sure if you touched on this or not. Are you aware of the current movement of military assets by the Air Force going to Guam, from Guam, quite possibly to North Korea? I mean, has that been touched on?
Two things we touched on are the U.S. Navy destroyers, which we knew about moving into the area, and also Pentagon activates defenses for North Korea, and also Russian bombers practicing strikes on U.S. missile defense systems. But no, what you're talking about, we have not touched upon.
Well, this is hello, everyone. I'm Pierre. I'm with the Exposing the Enemy for Freedomizer and Blog Talk. I just discovered this on Zero Hedge. U.S. secretly deploys B-1 strategic bombers and E-6 doomsday planes near North Korea. Now, what that translates to is another step or escalation in terms of who's going to blink first. This was discovered by the aviationist, and they talked about B-1B Lancers, also known as Bones, that were launched off, and they left from their base from the 7th, the 7th Bomb Wing out of Dayes Air Force Base out of Texas, also known as BAB. There was a flight of 7 of them, and they went to Guam. 7 B-1Bs, and along with that, the new plane that has replaced Looking Glass. If anyone knows anything about airborne alert and SAC operations, this is not classified, is the deployment of the E-6 Mercury Doomsday planes. One of these birds was launched off from a Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma. Now, to give you an understanding of what the E-6 Mercury does, which I'm just going to call Looking Glass, the new Looking Glass, is in case anything happens to Strategic Air Command's ground capabilities of handling strategic nuclear weapons, the launching of them specifically, if they go inoperable or if they have been destroyed, it is the responsibility of this aircraft to take control and to run the show. They also do the TACAMO policies for the Navy. TACAMO stands for take action and move out. Take charge and move out. I'm sorry, folks. So many acronyms. The whole point of TACAMO is to ensure that the boomers that are in the water receive non-conflicting orders to go to their targeted destination, go beyond their fail-safe point, reach missile depth, and be prepared to launch their payloads off should the order come down. Now, this is very, very significant because of what's going on, and add to the fact that just released today, apparently, I just saw it before I went to work earlier this morning, all foreign embassies have been ordered to evac all their staffs and personnel out of Pyongyang, capital of North Korea, by no later than the 10th of this month. The North Korean government issued a official statement pretty much saying to those respective embassies that they can no longer, quote, guarantee their safety. So as far as I'm concerned, looking at this, it's gotten to the point where we are, I would have to say, right at the Rubicon right now. And it's just a question of who's going to cross it, who's going to blink first. That is currently where we're at right now with the status of North Korea. But the fact that those military assets, those strategic nuclear assets, and mind you, folks, again, covering my tail, anyone can look it up. It's like on ZeroHedge.com. This is not classified. Once again, B-1B Lancers, a.k.a. the Bones, seven of them have launched off from Dais, and they should already be... at Guam. And there's also been word that there's other actions going on from a couple of other Air Force bases that have that are conducting, quote, exercises for strategic strikes against bunker installations. And they have B-1Bs involved in it. So no doubt, as far as I'm concerned, looks like the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, a.k.a. North Korea, is about to get a very serious wake-up call. Now, the question really comes down to this, Joe, and if your father's listening.
I'm listening, yep.
Okay, it really comes down to who's going to make this move, and what are the intentions of China? Now, what I've got out of China pretty much is they're orchestrating a lot of this stuff, and China's making some serious moves. I don't know if the 190th People Liberation Army's Mechanized Infantry Brigade is going to cross into North Korea just yet. I don't think they are. I think they're going to wait and see what the North does, and in response, what we in Iraq, the Republic of Korea, South Korea, does. Should it come down to, folks, just letting you know, should it come down to crossing the lines at the 38th parallel, and let's say our forces succeed in crossing no man's land into North Korea, you can expect the 190th crossing in from where they're at in Northeast China into North Korea, and you can expect some very serious stuff coming downrange. So it is that.
Pierre, let me just say this, okay? Here's the information I received, up-to-date information, and you tell me if this makes sense. Look at what this regime has done to our military. Do you actually expect, or do you actually believe that we can afford to lose a key military asset like a B-1, a B-2 bomber, whatever, in the Korean theater of operation that does not exist yet? I would look at this, and based on what I was told, this is more a show of force. Certainly we might have some flybys and certain things, but certainly not engaged in any type of meaningful combat. You're going to have a B-52 with cruise missiles take out the low-tech
the missile launchers over there. And this is, but see this, but what people get hung up on is this Korean thing. Look, we understand it's we understand how significant it is, but that's not where we need to be looking at. It's, this is a sideshow of a larger show. The larger show is in the Middle East. This is just China's way of saying, hey, wait, you're going to screw with us over here in Iran? You're going to mess around with our economic and military interests in Iran and in Syria? We're going to occupy you over here. We're not interested in directly engaging you militarily. We're just going to make you bring your bat and ball and all kinds of stuff over here while we perform mischief in the Middle East. This is what this is all about. Everyone's looking at Korea. Everyone's fretting and worrying and sweating bullets about Korea. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that I think that there's another deeper angle to this. What's your thoughts on that?
My thought is, I'm not going to contradict you. I'm actually going to very much well agree with you because I talk about smoke and mirrors. I do believe the Middle East would be the place to look at. But in terms of the notion of blind man's bluff, I'm very well convinced. I have to say about maybe 98% convinced, maybe 99.5, I don't know, percent convinced that rounds will go downrange in Korea. It will keep us occupied, quote, occupied, in terms of fighting
right
over there as the other fighting breaks out. Power projection is what it is. It's nothing more than a display of national power in the interest of that nation's foreign policies. Nothing more, nothing less. But what we're now looking at here, based on what imagery intelligence, so signals intelligence, electronic intelligence, and so forth, a lot of very hardcore strategic assets have been moved in place by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. And then at the same time, People's Liberation Army has moved. Okay, and then at the same time, we've got the Russians with their strategic rocket forces playing a game of cat and mouse in terms of running simulated attacks against U.S. Missile defenses. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to really put a name to this, folks, then let's call it the SCO, as I've been saying it for a little while, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is made up of China, founded in Shanghai, the second largest city in China, and then with Russia being another partner, and then several other non-aligned nations have joined them. They are the counterbalance to what NATO is in the West. And then when you add in BRICS with this, BRICS is nothing more than an offshoot or the financial arm of, as far as I'm concerned, of the SCO. So everything we're looking at here is SCO operating. Now the question Now the question is, are they going to just simply play this game as it is, a brinksmanship, to keep us occupied until crap hits the fan in the Middle East, or will they cross the line? I'm of the opinion they are going to cross the line. God is my witness. That's how I feel about it. That's what I've been seeing. That's what I've been sensing. That's the intel I've been getting. And we are ready, folks. I want you to all understand this. And the hosts, they don't need to hear me, you know, hammer it down. They know the score. But the fact of the matter is, this is what you got. You got a 20-year-old upstart who is now authorized to use a strategic nuclear weapons against the Republic of Korea, the United States. 28, the United States, and I believe Japan, okay? Just hearing that, that's hardcore. What can he do to back down from it? As far as I'm concerned, he can do nothing to back down from it. I'm not being a warmonger or a fearmonger here. What I'm trying to state is this. You got this cat saying this stuff. Now the face and honor of North Korea, what honor they do have, if they have any, is now at stake. He now has to do something. He has to, because you see, if he doesn't, he risks losing personal face. His country risks losing face. So if they do saber rattling anymore in the future, guess what? No one's going to listen to the boy that really cried wolf. You know what I mean? No one is. But what if he does cross the line? Can we afford to take that gamble? So
But the key word, though, here, you said the key word, occupy. And occupy by every definition of that word. In other words, what they are doing intentionally is spreading our military, already decimated by, or already decimated from within, spreading our military assets to the point where we cannot wage a fight anywhere. And if they drag all of these assets, which they are doing, to the Korean Peninsula, what does that? Where is our biggest exposure then?
Our biggest exposure, aside from the Middle East, is going to be our southern border region here at the continental United States.
That's correct. So,
coast.
Yeah.
So,
I
do have a solution. And here's the solution. And the solution is going to hurt a lot of people because a lot of people will get hurt in this. But you don't, for those of you who are listening, you'll understand what I'm saying. For those of you who are skeptical that get over it, march on to Washington, D.C., much like how the protesters did during the Vietnam War. Have those signs up against the war. Say we know the truth of what's going on. Say we don't approve of being defenseless. Say we are tired of fighting proxy wars. Let's clean house here while we still can. Yet you don't see anyone marching on D.C. You don't see it. Why? Because everyone, for some ungodly reason, has accepted what Obama says and now has agreed with him that the First Amendment is a bad thing. So guess what? Now you do this protesting, that's considered an act of terrorism or that's a bad thing. You know what, folks? It's time to get some spine and stand up. Now, before someone says to me or Doug or Joel or anyone else, why don't you guys do it? Folks, we are doing it. We're on the radio. What are you doing?
Yeah, of course.
That's my challenge to anyone out there who has anything smart to say about this. Because this is boiling down to the numbers and survival. This is boiling down to where you see those who are truly faithful in the word of God will stand up for what is righteous. This country was founded on the principles of the Lord before it became what it is. Will it become that again? I don't know, but you can still stand up and fight for it. Fighting doesn't mean you have to shed blood. It means you can voice your opinion, get those boards out, march on to the freaking Capitol and tell them you're not standing for this. Public opinion changed the outcome of the Vietnam War. We won the battles in that war, but we lost it psychologically, you know, thanks to Tet and a bunch of other stupid stuff. But what I'm trying to say here, folks, is you can still make a difference. Regardless of what's happening in the Korean Peninsula or what's happening in the Middle East, you could still make a difference before that clock hits zero. Don't give in to pessimism. Don't give in to negativity. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty lit with anger, guys. I am, because so many of our assets are being strewn everywhere, and our fleets are still locked in port in case anyone's forgotten. That is very, very, very wrong.
We are also lining up the assets. If you look in the Korean area, too, one thing that does concern me is we're lining up the assets in like a Pearl Harbor style fashion.
Fashion.
All right?
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Now, Pierre, you mentioned a tactic here. Let me just offer to the listeners to this program, especially the listeners who are Americans or who are residing in the United States, and I'll even say this to you. Remember the movie with Matthew Broderick, War Games, back from 1983.
Absolutely.
Do you remember that movie?
Shall we play a
game? All right. At the last scene, how did Matthew Broderick and that character, how did he overcome the computer for the nuclear war game? There is only one answer to winning a nuclear war. The answer on the computer was basically not play. Do you remember that? I mean, I probably butchered the plot, but the plot ending.
I remember it. I remember it because it was going through a bunch of war scenarios, and then it came up with global thermal nuclear war. And it was some serious war games with that. Yeah.
Right, and the only way to win
was not to play.
The only answer the computer they had was not to play. Now, I know we're talking about Korea here at this point, but before the top of the hour break, we were talking about a number of things, including the Health Care Act. The only way that we can win against this regime, against the nationalization of everything, is to refuse to play. That's the answer for the gun registration, state-by-state laws. That's the answer to everything. You don't play. That's the only way we can win. If everyone says, you know what, we're not playing. We're not going to register for our weapons, or we're not going to allow affordable health. We're not going to participate in affordable health care. What are they going to do? Are they going to tax everyone and throw us all in jail? Or if everyone doesn't register, are they going to throw us all into these prisons and camps? Of course not. But that's the whole thing. Domestically, that's what we've got to do. We've got to stand up and say, you know what? We're not playing. We're not going to play. And whatever expletive, that goes along with that. But we don't even have to go there. But with this Korean issue, I do agree with you. But I also think that we've got to take 5 steps back and look at the picture, because Korea is just merely the picture inside the picture. But I understand where you're going with this. I agree with you. But
the only thing I'm going to have to add to this, and I'm going to be on a, because you got other callers waiting. I'll say this about Korea, folks, and then you guys in the chat room and those who are listening, you ponder it, and if you want to answer it and think about it, by all means. About 60 or 70 years is a long time, as far as I'm concerned, a very, very long time to be having a succession of, quote, hostilities in a state of technical war. At some point, that has to end, and it's going to either end peacefully or it's going to end in bloodshed. But however you look at it, it's got to end. And maybe what we're looking at, just maybe what we're looking at, is the end of this lameness that should have ended back in the 1950s.
Why didn't it end back then, Pierre?
It ended because of a strategic error, because I don't like bagging on him, because I thought he was a really good general, though he was a bit arrogant, or extremely arrogant, was the American Caesar Douglas MacArthur. MacArthur believed, much like George S. Patton did, the general back then of World War II, that whereas with Patton, he said, we need to take all of Berlin. Don't let Berlin get divided with the Russians, otherwise we'll be fighting pretty much this Cold War, and we'll have to be dealing with the Russians. Take all of Germany, get it under the American flag, and then things will be fine. What happened? No one listened, and surprisingly enough, guess what? Patton gets in a mysterious accident somewhere overseas, I think in Germany or whatever, and later he winds up dying. What happened with MacArthur? MacArthur knew once we crossed over into 38 and took Pyongyang, he decided to go and say, I know who the next enemy is going to be. I've known it for a while, and we need to take this enemy out now so the future generations don't have to take him out. Who was that enemy? Beijing. Take out Mao Zedong, father creator of Red China.
So, Pierre,
They bumped heads like crazy over this.
Right.
And Truman said, you're not going to do this. And MacArthur said, yes, I am. And Mao said to everyone involved, don't cross over. Don't get near the Yalu River. You get near the Yalu River, we're going to cross over and we're going to fight. No one took Mao seriously. No one. And then when they passed near the Yalu, a couple of million screaming volunteers, members of the People's Liberation Army of China, came across and started killing Americans and UN forces wholesale, to the point where they pushed us so far out of North Korea that we lost Pyongyang. Yes, folks, we had the capital of North Korea under our control, and pushed us all the way back down to the 38th parallel. And that is why we are at where we are to this day.
So, let me follow it up with a question. Let me follow up with a question. You named a couple of scenarios. We can go to World War One. We can go name a war. What's the common thread here? Who is actually Had we stopped short, including but not limited to Desert Storm or the first Gulf War?
It's pre-planned destruction, Doug. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Pre-planned destruction. Don't take it too far.
Bingo.
Let's make it controversial, but let's not take it too far. We'll end it, and then we'll pick up on it some years later. Now here it is almost 70 years later with Korea, with modern warfare techniques. We're going up against the fourth largest army in the world. And this country has the largest special operation force in the entire world. Not even China comes close to what North Korea has in terms of North Korean commandos. I'm not trying to make the enemy look like all that and bag of chips, folks, but you need to understand what the numbers are. Because this will be about numbers. How do you eliminate those numbers? Heaven forbid, and I'm going to sound sarcastic, tactical nuclear weapons be deployed to take those numbers down. That is how you're going to even the odds on that battlefield.
But all of these wars, police actions, whatever, stopping short, to coin a phrase from Seinfeld, all of this stopping short, this is planned for a state of perpetual warfare, and even the borders from World War One, they were carved out, insanely carved out, the armistice in Korea, this is planned because to keep us in a state of perpetual warfare leading up to World War III. And this is what we're seeing take place right now.
But my thing about World War III is we've been fighting World War III probably for the last 10 years, maybe 20 years. It's just been cold. Now it's about to go hot. You know?
Yeah.
And what sucks about this, folks, is everything I've said has now come to pass. As Doug and his show and everyone else, Alex Jones, has said, the three basic tenets of bringing down a nation. You create civil divide, political, ethnic divide. We have that in the United States of America. You bleed out its military. You create multiple fronts, keeping your enemy's forces off kilter. Von Clausewitz, who wrote the treaties on war from his end, from the Western point of view, simply said, the way you keep your enemy off base is you disrupt his center of gravity, and then you attack. Then you've got the final part, economic implosion destruction, which is what we're seeing, and already the Japanese market is starting to buckle. It's right in our faces, and what is happening here in this country? Out of what, maybe 317 or 318 million people, only what, maybe 55 or 60 million of us are awakened. That's not enough to change things into our favor, folks. I would say pray, get your spiritual houses in order, and start making some noise and get other people running with you on this. You know, you guys need to clearly see what the divide is, because the divide is here. The enemy has thus far succeeded in making these three things happen.
Who's the enemy?
The enemy is the people within us. The enemy looks like us. Sometimes the enemy is us, whether it's through hubris, excessive pride, wanting power, influence, living in complete denial to the point where you are supporting the machine. That is the enemy. And ultimately, the real enemy is the ones you can't see, the ones of the spiritual nature, the ones that are fallen, the ones that fell
to
heaven. Ultimately, that's this. And we are fighting. What we're looking at here, folks, is the physical manifestation of the spiritual war brought here on our world. And while people are like, I can't believe this is happening, where did all this craziness come from? Look no further than a holy Bible. Look into the scriptures. I'm sure there's other ancient texts from other beliefs that coincide with what the Bible says, that there has been great wars in the heavens and a purge or something like that, and a fall has happened. And now you think these beings that fell are dead? They are not. They are very much alive, very much real, and they are very much pulling the strings on what's going on because it has been mandated to happen for us as the people, the creations of the Lord, you know, the sovereign God, the Yahweh, the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our thing is to maintain our faith, to keep our houses in order, and to try, if we can, to help others, even in the worst and darkest of times. I could talk to you about war until I turn blue in the face, but at the end of the day, I will tell you there is no such thing as an atheist in a combat situation. And combat does not necessarily reflect, folks, a knife, a gun, a rifle, or a nuclear device. It could represent harsh words and a fist. It can represent illegal legislation and so forth. It can represent a lot of things that people take for granted and will not act on because they feel that the powers that be know what's in our best interest, or I don't want to read all the stuff that I can't understand. Hello, my people suffer and or die for lack of knowledge. That's all I got to say with this. Sorry for taking up so much time, folks, but
no, it's good.
The call.
Here. You have a show tonight, correct?
Yeah, my show's on tonight, folks. It's Exposing the Enemy on Blog Talk Radio and on Freedomizer Radio. My co-host, God's an Angel, will be on. We're on at 10:30 p.m. to midnight, Wednesdays and Thursdays, Pacific Daylight Time. Hope you all get a chance to listen. Tonight is the night that we're kind of mellow. We're going to be venerating the Lord, talking about the good things that he has to offer us in the dark times that we live in. Wednesdays is when we hit hard on the enemy. But sometimes we all have to have that break. Why? Because you talk too much about the enemy, and I'm guilty of this. We tend to forget about the one who made everything possible for us to have what we have, up to and including our suffering for a reason, to give us our divine salvation. We forget about the Lord, and when we forget about him, we're busy venerating the enemy, and that is not the thing that we want to promote, and so that's what we do on Friday nights with Exposing the Enemy. So I am sorry, my apologies to all of you, if I tend to get out of control with things, with my emotions on this. It's just the fact I've got brothers and sisters, not blood, but brothers and sisters in uniform, by the thousands in various corners of the world, doing their thing because they believe in it, or they're ordered to because they don't have a choice. And they come back in flag-draped coffins, or they come back with missing limbs. I also have to think about the flip side of the equation, the civilian populations, the people who know but are so afraid that they cannot take a stand because there's not enough people to back them up. To America at large, I ask you, where is your spine? Where is your heart? Where is that spirit of rebellion within you that helped found this country back in 1775? Where did it go, folks? Where did it go? Where did your values go? When did you become so weak that you gave up on everything and you just let everything be? Innocent children die because of issues of abortion. So since when did we give in to that? But anyway,
Exposing the Enemy tonight.
Yeah. Thank you, fellas.
12 p.m. 10:30 Pacific, you said?
10:30 Pacific to midnight. We only have an hour and a half slot, folks.
FreedomizerRadio.com
and Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's a great show. Thank you, Pierre, so much for your call and for what you do. And we will be talking soon. You have a good night. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, too. Good night.
All right. We are going to move along here. We're going to let's go to Sheila. Sheila, you're up next. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
We can, actually. No longer in the wind tunnel.
Yeah, I'm not in the wind tunnel?
You're not.
Is that what you said? Okay. You know what it was? I thought, what is it they're hearing? It was I got an air cleaner. That's what you were hearing, so I turned it off. So evidently, that's That was the problem.
Sheila, were you mistaken the telephone for the air cleaner or air cleaner for the telephone or what?
I didn't know which it was.
I was just joking. It was a lame attempt at a joke, actually.
This is a new phone. This is a new phone, and I was thinking there better not be nothing wrong with this one because it's the second one I've had to buy. But anyway, on what he was just saying, I just got a question for you. Could Obama use this to declare an emergency here?
Sure.
With Korea. That's what's in the back of my mind.
Yeah, well, Obama could have a transmission drop in one of his limos and declare a national emergency, technically, if he wanted to.
But to make it, you know, Sheila, you raise a good point, because people are starting to say, well, this is it. Well, you know, it's people have a tendency to really, I'm guilty too, of looking at something and saying, okay, well, this is what's going to start it. Well, we don't know that, but, it's possible, but it's a longer field. This is a marathon as opposed to a sprint that we're involved in. Could something happen here? Absolutely, it could happen here. But will it? Well,
I just don't trust him.
Yeah, no, I don't either. But over there, they've got business to take care of over there in terms of the Middle East, and I'm telling you, that's where to look. You watch. Concurrent with Korea, there will be something in the Middle East, and then I would say certainly over here, could there be a situation arise that would lead to what you're talking about? Yes. In that order. That's my view based on my evaluation.
I read an article last week that Assad was possibly dead. Then I read an article where he had one of his legs blown off, so... Evidently, whatever news they're getting is coming from the people over there. There's news blackout, I guess. But, you know, whether he's dead or not, I don't know. But haven't seen him. And the media, Fox News, isn't saying a whole lot about Syria and what's going on over there. So the focus has been taken off of that somewhat. But
And therein lies the plan. That's the plan.
Yes.
Yeah, do you notice how quickly all of a sudden... Syria. What's going on? What about Syria? That's the plan.
You know, I noticed something else that was here. You know, about 3 weeks ago, you know, talking about the DHS buying up all the ammunition and whatnot, and it came out on Fox News, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's finally coming out, you know, and they were talking about that, warning about that, and they had a retired major come on there, and he said, I'm very concerned about that. He said, but I'm also concerned that right in the midst of this, we've got the federal government trying to take the guns away from the people, you know, and I'm like, yeah, about time. Not another word. That didn't go any further than that. That subject was dropped. And no doubt they were told to keep their mouth shut, not to talk about that.
Well, of course. And what better way for backdoor gun control than control the flow of ammunition or control the availability of ammunition?
Exactly.
And that's just, you know, so that's just part of it. But
I thought they were going to take that and run with it, but nope, that came to a dead halt.
About the DHS ammo. Forget about that. Forget about Syria. It doesn't happen. It's everyone watch North Korea now. And again, I'm not trying to diminish the threat. I'm not trying to diminish it because we could see a tactical nuke go off over there. But the bottom line is it's not about North Korea. But then again, you know, it's complicated. It's people are trying to make it. And people aren't seeing the whole picture, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But Sheila, you get it. You understand it. Our audience understands it. Judging by Facebook, Sheila and ladies and gentlemen, I put our latest report, the video report about Syria on and North Korea on our my Facebook page, I think it is. Anyway, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, there's an 8-minute video there you can watch. I did it today about Syria, North Korea. I'm sorry, North Korea. So,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Look at that.
What were you laughing at? You're laughing at
me. Yeah, I'm just checking the email here, and we got about 60 new messages from YouTube.
For what?
Oh, man.
I'm
that's
sorry.
Probably a couple hundred. No, people subscribing and also comments. So,
okay,
but a
right.
lot of them are people subscribing, so that's good.
Okay. Well, anyway, God bless you, Sheila. Hang in there and duck and cover. Oh, by the way,
that wasn't what I called about. I was calling.
Why didn't you tell us?
When Pierre was talking, I was thinking about the emergency thing here with the person in the White House. But Joe was the one who got me to call because when he was talking about Obama bringing out these navigators, it made me mad. You know, and what I want to ask you, Joe, is are they going to go door to door, or are they going to be in doctor's offices? Does it say where? You know, what?
T4. It's the T4 plan, Hitler's T4 plan. The navigators, as you call them, yeah, it's going to be split, I believe. There's going to be personal visits, but it's going to be centered around the hospitals, doctors, PCPs.
Are you in the chat room, Sheila?
No. No, I don't even. I don't even know how to do that. Never mind. I don't have no Facebook account or nothing. I wouldn't do it anyway because they're listening. Of course, they're listening to us. But
if you can't do this, there is an article from the Washington Examiner, and it's from April 3rd. It's titled "Tens of Thousands of Obamacare Navigators to Be Hired," and in that article, and I'm sure you can find this in other places, there's a 63-page document that covers these navigators. It's from the Department of Health and Human Services. And it is, let's see, it says 45 CFR Part 155. And I'm not sure if that's the document title.
Just in a search engine.
In Affordable Health Care Act, Exchange Functions, Standards for Navigators and Non-Navigators Assistance Personnel. So I'm sure you can even search Navigator, Obamacare Navigator document, and probably find it.
Right.
It's a 63-page document. And I'll post it in the chat.
Here's the thing. I'm not complying with it. I'm not going to comply with nothing.
And therein lies the answer.
Because my doctor, I've got my own little thing here with me, my doctors. They ain't doing nothing to me that I don't want done. Ain't nobody going to force me to do anything that I don't want done. My doctor, yeah, well, my doctor knows, you know, he tries to want to pump me four shots and whatnot, and I tell him no, you know. So if these little people that he wants to send out, sheeple, you know, when he put him in a doctor's office and whatnot, I would tell them to leave the room. I wouldn't hesitate.
Uh-huh.
I would tell them to leave the room if they come to my door. I've already told my kids I got a half an interest in this house, and nobody from the federal government will ever walk in it as long as I'm breathing. They're not going to come in this house and see how my granddaughter's being raised. They're not going to come in here and see if our house energy is sufficient. None of it. I won't have none of it.
You got something to hide?
Hey,
we're going to bust your door in, Sheila. Look, I don't like the way you're sounding. What's your address? We're going to send the Obama people over.
It's sadly the attitude.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I just can't, you know, help it. I want to kick somebody's buttocks.
Well, don't look at us.
I seriously mean that. I am not and will not comply with nothing. I'm 66 years old. I am a candidate for euthanasia, okay? So I got nothing to lose here. I will not kowtow to the Fed. I don't care who it is. Obama himself could come and knock on my door, and I would run him off.
Good.
And I mean that.
Good. Now we're going to bump you up on the euthanasia list.
Yeah, well, I am a candidate for euthanasia.
Don't worry, Sheila. My dad's
Oh, I ain't worried. I know where I'm going, but I, you know, let me end with this. Mr. McGuire said it beautifully last night. We've got a place to go when all hell breaks loose. God's going to be right here amongst us, and he's going to keep us out of harm's way, and he's going to show us what to do. You know, we're not in this by ourselves, and he will find us a way out through that door that Mr. McGuire was talking about last night. And that was a very good program, by the way. I loved it. You know, it was a very, very
good
program. We
thought it was great.
It was, especially toward the end there when he was having, you know, talking about that vision. You know, that was just great. You know, it was so nice. I love that. Huh?
Sheila, he's talking about. He was talking about you, and the listeners of this program, as being part of the remnant, part of the people who are, the golden faces.
You know,
you know that?
When he went, yeah. Well, and I didn't think that when I was listening to him. You know what?
I didn't either until somebody had pointed that out to me.
Well,
when
he mentioned an open door, it came to mind. I go over to Alex Jones's website, and I really like him. You know, he's good at what he does. But I found myself starting to back away from his website because the news is so bad. And I'm thinking, why is the news bothering me over here? But yet I can sit and listen to Doug and Joe, and it doesn't bother me. And I know what's going on. I understand everything that's going on. But for some reason, it was bothering me. And it clicked in my mind last night when he was talking about that vision he had. Alex doesn't have any spiritual component to his program. When you've got that spiritual component there, it's easier for us to take it. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You need that.
Yeah. And Joe,
let me tell you.
In,
you need it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you need it. Go ahead. Joe throws in the scriptures.
He talks to scriptures and whatnot, and it makes it easier for us to deal with it as Christians. We need Jesus right next to us even when we're listening to it and reading it, and because it's ugly, you know, and that's what's missing over there. That's what was missing over there, and I understand that now. You know, and I know that God's going to take care of all of us in this. And you know what? Sandy's been on my mind. We haven't heard from her in a long time. And if she's listening, I just want to say hello to her. For some reason, she's been on my mind, and I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to continue to pray for her. So, but for some reason, she's been on my mind, and hello, Sandy, if you're listening in, hopefully. But anyway, I love you guys. And I love what you do, and keep doing what you're doing. And the Lord is with us, and he's going to open that door for us so we can take cover. Psalms 91.
All right. God bless.
Okay.
Thanks, Sheila.
All right. Bye.
I'm glad she stopped using her air purifier or air conditioner, air fan instead of a phone, right?
Sounded great tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks. We're going to go to one more call here.
Why can't I hear you?
Probably because I'm muted.
Yeah, I was muted. That's why you couldn't hear me. I'm sorry about that. Thanks for the call, Sheila. God bless you. That was very nice to hear from you. We're going to go to one more phone call here for a couple minutes, and we're going to close out the show. Area code 719. Oh, I'm sorry. Area code 605.
605.
You're up next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Grace and peace, Doug and Joe. Hello?
And same to you, sir. Yes, same to you.
Yeah, this is Brother Marcus Samuel, and I'm just calling in tonight to just commend you, Doug and Joe, for the boldness that God has given you to declare truth. And I see your Sheol and you two as being towers of truth. And of course, Jesus said that the truth will make us free. And you are allowing an awakening to take place among your very learned and astute listeners, which I just love and enjoy listening to. And Proverbs 28:1 says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And you two young lions are going to be an end-time premier team that is going to keep progressive truth going into the ears and hearts of listeners that will help them to prepare for what's taking place. And a couple of the listeners were describing all the military assets that are being moved around. Well, the natural types, the spiritual, and I just want to close by saying this real quickly, that God himself is also orchestrating spiritual assets, moving them into placement through prayer and intercession to raise up a righteous remnant that's going to expose the darkness and declare the truth. And I apologize for my voice. I'm just getting over cold from being out working outside. But again, Doug and Joel, you're blessed of the Lord. God has raised you up and given you a platform to reach the world with the message of boldness and truth. And we need not have no fear what's taking place around the world. Yes, we're living in perilous times, but God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And like the last listener said, we would do well to find ourselves living out of the truth of Psalms 91. And Doug, I commend you for your boldness. You are truly righteous in the Lord and bold as a lion. And Joe, I want to commend you on being studious in the Word. You have a love and passion for the truth. And you're going to be two twin towers that no enemy will bring down in this end time. God's going to use you significantly to release messages of truth and help us prepare for what is ahead, because some big things are going to come down. And I just appreciate you and the show so much.
Well, folks, and Marcus, let me just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Evenson and Steve Quayle spoke of Marcus. We have on the phone with us Marcus Samuel. He is a true man of God. I've had the pleasure, and I mean the humble pleasure, of speaking to Marcus personally off air. He is a missionary, doing missionary work on the reservations in the, shall we say, in the west part of the country, the South Dakota area. And he is doing the work of the Lord, going places and doing things. He wrote us just a wonderful letter, but it opened my eyes, ladies and gentlemen. There are people out there who are fighting the actual principalities of darkness, and this is one of those men. Marcus, let me ask you a question, because I do know that you ask for nothing. I've never met a person. Not only do you not ask for anything, you give of yourself. You give literally the coat off your back, I'm not sure about the shoes off your feet, but you've done so much. let me ask this. I do know that you travel some rough terrain, and you have a situation where you're in need of a replacement four-wheel drive vehicle. Doesn't have to be new. Have you been able to get something to replace your duct taped four-wheel drive?
Well, Brother Doug, not as yet, and to be honest, I've not made a big issue of it. My heart and concern is reaching out and loving people. And I know that if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these things will be added to me. But, Brother Joe, I've got a burden for the Native people. They have been just tremendously abused, and I won't take time to go into all that now. But there is such a treasure inside them that I believe that God wants to raise them up. And I do not believe that we can see a true restoration in our country until people groups that have been abused are reached out to and ministered to. And so I literally spend 24/7 going and doing, you know, things that the Spirit of God compels me to do for this people. I'm determined to live or die to reach the people here and have them to see an awakening to the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's my sole reason for living. And like I said, I do appreciate you bringing up that need. I'm just, you know, humbled by the people, and I want to take time to thank everybody that has responded to the program. When Steve Quill and Greg Evenson and yourself were bringing that to the people's attention, God bless each and every one of you, and may the Lord reward you accordingly to your gifts. And but again, my heart, Brother Doug and Brother Joel, is if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then these things will be added to me. I do covet your prayers. I've encountered things out here. You know, we talked about some time about, you know, maybe sharing some things on the radio, and you know, I'm open to that. I've encountered things out here that I've never seen nowhere, whether it be South America, Bermuda, or wherever else I may have been to. It's quite intense, and I praise God for Steve Quell and Greg Evenson and your show for bringing these realities to us.
They're
real.
You got it. They are. I got to tell you, we're up against the. We got about 15 seconds left, Marcus.
Yes,
I just want to say this. I want to thank you so much for being out there on the front lines. And folks, we will put up what we do have his permission to put up his mailing address. Anyone who can
support.
Good Lord.
God bless you, brother.
He's a real deal.
It's fantastic talking to you. I hope we can do it again soon. And you know, God bless you for all you do.
All right,
thank
brother.
You. Well, God bless you both for what you do, and be blessed. And I love your show. Good night.
All right, thanks. Good night, everyone.
All right, that was Brother Marcus, and what a great end to a wonderful
week. We are
week.
Out of here.
God bless each and every one of you. Sunday night, Pastor David Langford, Steve Quayle, 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. Thank you. We'll see you then.